Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons and Dragons, and today we're talking about fairies and Haragons.
Hey Brian.
Hey Will.
How you doing?
It's a good day to be doing the Dungeon Cast because there's a new adventure module. We're going to talk about some of the stuff inside of it, and it's going to be really fun. So I'm really excited is how I'm doing.
That's good. I'm excited as well. We would have actually covered this earlier, but the spooky months take precedent.
And spooky first.
Yeah, spooky first,
new
and then
books
new,
later.
Yeah, absolutely. But yes, we are talking about some new content from a new book, and it's time to head back to a place that we have not visited in some time. The Feywild.
The Fey bullshit's back.
The Fey bullshit. Hashtag Fey bullshit.
Hashtag Fey bullshit this episode and share it.
With the release of The Wild Beyond the Witchlight back in late September, we received quite a few new Fey options for players, including a couple new backgrounds, Fey Lost and Witchlight Hand. Big fan of these. Fey Lost would have been perfect, background for my Winter Gnome character I created back in the Fey Warlock episode. I don't know if you remember that.
I vaguely remember that, yeah.
Yeah. We also got some awesome new Fey monsters, i.e. the Jabberwock, which we did a Everything You Need to Know About, so go check that video out.
That was a fun vocal recording. I like doing those.
Yeah, that was fun. But the thing I feel most people are the most hyped for are the two new racial options, fairies and Haragons. Both are Fey creatures, fairies, obviously, but Haragons are a new one for me and for D&D as far as I can tell. Essentially, a sentient rabbit folk. Both are pretty cool, even though the fairies annoy me for reasons I will detail soon. But any questions before we just get into it?
I actually have a few.
Oh.
I don't know if I should save them for later because I really want to draw parallels. So we have fairies now, right? I don't know a lot about them because I'm waiting for you to tell me about them.
I don't know if we have fairies, Brian, is the question.
Okay. We'll deal with that when the time comes, it sounds like. But, like, what's up with pixies and sprites in the mix? Is that gonna? Were we gonna get into that? Because I was looking up. I was like,
"Dude, I'm about to flip a fucking table." Oh, I'm gonna tell you the difference.
Okay, let's go.
Let's go. So let's begin with fairies.
All right.
The Feywild is home to many fantastic peoples, including fairies.
Fairies
are a wee folk, but not nearly so much so as their pixie and sprite friends. Mm-hmm. The first fairies and those who continue to dwell in the far-flung corners of the Feywild communicate in the ancient languages of Elvish, Goblin, or Sylvan, but encounters with human visitors prompted many of these winged Feylings to learn Common as well.
So let's get, I want to touch on a couple of bullshit things here.
Okay.
Is how they don't read Common, right? Like they can't read English, or not English, but like Common, you know? Like,
I mean, they can. I just said they could.
They could, okay, they could
just
do
some
it?
Don't.
Okay.
Some can, some can't.
Okay.
So what's the issue?
Well, I just wanted to, like, make sure.
Yeah, it's just basically, like, you can choose to be one from, like, the far-flung, and, you know, then you don't. So
okay,
why would you?
Because there's a lot of, there's so many weird things about the Fae that I want to, like, kind of bring them up as we go.
Okay, so what about that? Has he bugged?
I just wanted to confirm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me get into why this rendition of fairies annoys me. There is basically no lore on them, and let me explain why. The information given in their stat block specifically states that these fairies are not either pixies or sprites, which we have lots of lore on, see our Pixies and Sprites episode. Mm-hmm. Fairies in 5th edition don't seem to exist in any source book outside of The Wild Beyond the Witchlight, which only has a paragraph and a half describing them.
Oh, that's simply not enough.
So I thought to myself, okay, no problem. I'll just go back through the previous editions, 1 through 4, and gather up all the information ever written about fairies. Nope. Fairies as an explicit species have never existed in D&D. Rather, it has always been a general umbrella term for the many small fey humanoid creatures in the game, i.e. pixies, sprites, nixies, brownies, atomies, etc. All of which are very different from each other and all qualify as fairies. But again, the only 5e source book on the matter states that 5e fairies are not pixies or sprites. And nixies, brownies, and atomies are nothing like the fairy described in The Wild Beyond the Witchlight. So they're out too.
Right.
So I asked myself, where the fuck does that leave me except to tell you that fairies are brand new to D&D, which really isn't true because we had a whole episode on sprites and pixies, which are obviously fairies.
Yes.
Never mind what the goddamn rule book says.
They're just like, is this like different... species of humanoids, and then now we're shrinking down to fairies because some of them list that like they look like they're like small elves. Like I think the pixies are like depicted as small elves, and the sprites are like kind of different. Do I have them backwards? I might have them backwards.
We'll see how you feel about this when I'm done.
Okay.
That being said, the real reason Wizards of the Coast felt the need to make a playable fairy race that was not one of the already established fairies in the game is because they don't want anyone playing characters that are size category tiny.
Right.
So they said, here's this new but not really new thing called a fairy, except for it's not really a fairy because it's the same size as a fucking halfling. Have fun.
There's like a lot of implications with the rules that like you can't do tiny.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, like, okay, I'm gonna go buy a longsword. Well, I need to go to the fairy shop.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm tiny.
So do it.
Yes, you're a fairy. You should have access to like the fairy stuff, right?
Yeah,
like,
figure
you're
it out.
A fairy.
DM, figure out something. Anyways, it doesn't actually bug me that much. I just find it really silly. Past editions had fairy playable races that were tiny, and the game didn't crumble before the brokenness of tiny characters.
Yeah.
Also, we have all this awesome pixie and sprite lore, and wasting that seems sort of lame. And if playing a tiny character has some unforeseen issues, which I'm sure it does, then just give the race that DM's discretion notice that has gone on some subclasses in the past. Basically, like, hey, this race, this species, whatever, comes with some baggage. So if your DM doesn't want to allow it, like, it's DM's discretion. But anyways,
there's so many caveats with size in this game, and maybe that's a good like D&D explained topic for us, like, mm-hmm. explaining size categories and like why.
I'll do some research on the topic and maybe we could talk about it. I'm sure there are some broken things, but again, as a dungeon master, I'm just like, no, you can't do that. Why? Because I said so.
Yeah, because
it doesn't have to be more complicated than that.
It's the same problem you get with the centaur, but obviously on the other side, end of the spectrum. Right. Like, why isn't this thing large? Well, there's certain implications to being large, and like, you know, being able to like grab weapons or grapple certain creatures.
Well, let's talk about the centaur. Because, yeah, okay, the centaur is large, right? So, like, theoretically, it should get extra damage or whatever on its weapon attacks, because that's what monsters
can, like,
do.
Can, like, hold bigger weapons.
But that's the thing, is the holding of the weapon is dependent on the medium humanoid part of the larger horse monster. Like, it's the horse part that's large, sorry. It's the humanoid part that's still medium, and thus can only hold a medium weapon.
Okay.
Anyways, that's just my take. Anyways, back to bullshit fairies.
Maybe it's got horse abs.
Yeah, horse abs.
Let's move on.
Infused with the magic of the Feywild, most fairies look like small elves with insectile wings, but each fairy has a special physical characteristic that sets the fairy apart. For your fairy, roll on the fey characteristics table or choose an option from it. You're also free to come up with your own characteristic if none of the suggestions below fits your character. So essentially, you would roll a d8 or choose one of these options.
I'm going to do it.
Do you want to do it?
I do.
All right. Let's go, Brian. Tell me about the eight characteristics.
Characteristics. One. Your wings are like those of a bird.
So you're like a mini angel.
Two, you have shimmering multicolored skin.
That's fun.
Three, you have exceptionally large eyes.
Ears,
sorry. I read eyes and I
thought. Although I think eyes makes more sense. Like the like almost like the like anime eyes that don't look quite natural.
What's
like,
that movie they did?
What movie?
Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell.
They did the Ghost in the Shell girl, and her eyes are all huge.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen that, right?
I think you're talking about Alita Angel.
Battle Angel. But they didn't they do Ghost in the Shell also?
They did, but no big eyes.
No big eyes. I'm confusing those. Yeah. Okay. Four, a glittering mist constantly surrounds you.
Fantastic.
Five, you have a small spectral horn on your forehead. Like a little unicorn horn.
That's pretty cool.
I like how they fucking wrote that there.
You know, like a little unicorn horn?
Like a small, picture a unicorn. Now picture it small. Now cut off its horn. Now put that on your fairy.
But it's spectral.
Make it spectral. Six, it's the ghost of unicorn horns past. Anyway, your legs are insectile.
That's gross.
That's gross.
That's gross.
Okay. Oh, man. sorry to keep tangenting off. Have you seen spoilers for the Clone Wars? It's some animated series, Star Wars thing.
Which of the two? There's two Clone Wars animated series. The one everyone knows and loves, and the one no one talks about, but I love.
Jesus, it's the first one where they show what happens to Darth Maul after he falls down that big tube that Obi-Wan cuts him in half down.
I have no idea what you're talking
about. Spoilers for the Phantom Menace. They put like a spider body on the bottom of him at first before they give him mechanical legs.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Darth Maul's back.
That was in the Clone Wars animated series, the CG one?
There's a CG one, and I think it's the Clone Wars.
Yeah, that's Clone Wars. But then there's the Clone Wars, which is one that was animated and directed by Kevin Smith. It was like a 6-part miniseries. It was excellent. Anyways, moving on.
Oh, was it the micro series stuff? Like the regular animation?
This was way, yeah, it was regular animation, and it was way before the CG one ever came out.
I love those.
Yes. There was like 6 episodes.
They're
amazing.
Yes, they're fantastic. Go watch them. I went to Amoeba Records one time to go find them.
Yeah, if you can find them, watch them. They're great. Yeah.
Seven is you smell like fresh brownies.
Delicious.
Nice.
Eight, I actually don't like brownies.
You like turtle brownies?
I do like turtle brownies, but that's just because I love caramel pecan.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a good combo. Eight, a noticeable harmless chill surrounds you.
Ooh,
what's that like?
That's kind of like my winter gnome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Good. I like that.
All right.
A little mini snowstorm around you.
Absolutely.
Harmless, though. You're like a snow globe. You're like a walking globeless snow globe.
Indeed, you are.
Okay. Cool.
Do you want to get into the actual stat block, the racial traits?
Yeah. You want me to read that too?
It's up to you. You can. I'm the one who built the fairy. We built characters today, even though we don't usually do that for races. We just thought it felt right.
Yes. Fairy traits. As a fairy, I will read them. Sorry.
Yeah. Go
ahead. Fairy traits. As a fairy, you have the following racial traits. Creature type. Okay. Yeah. I always read that stuff and I shouldn't. You're a fae. You are small. Your walking speed is 30 feet.
You should be tiny. You should be goddamn tiny.
Fairy magic, you know, the druid craft cantrip, which is really
cool. That's
pretty
cool.
It's like prestidigitation.
But with plants.
All kinds of druid flavor. Starting at third level, you can cast the fairy fire spell. That makes total sense, even though that spelling's not the same. with this trait, starting at fifth level, you can also cast the enlarge reduce spell with this trait, which is very cool.
So now you can become tiny at fifth level once a day.
Yeah.
That's not enough for me, but whatever.
Picture the size, actually, what you're thinking, mm-hmm. and then treat it mechanically like how the game wants you to.
Yeah, that's basically what you're going to have to do, and that's fine. It's just find the whole thing silly that they felt the need to invent this being that hasn't existed in any other thing, any other D&D edition. Call it a fairy, but it's obviously not because they have those.
And then put it inside the D&D box.
Yeah, and then act like it was always supposed to be there. So stupid. Anyways, go ahead.
They were cowards. They had broken out of their shell to do it. They finally did it. But they were hesitant, obviously.
Yeah.
Let's see. Where was I? You can cast either of those spells using any spell slot you have of the appropriate level. So you can cast it once for sure.
But also
multiple
times.
If you are a spellcaster, you can keep doing it.
Yeah. Spoiler, mine's not.
Oh. Intelligence, wisdom, or charisma is your spellcasting ability for these spells. When you cast them with this trait, choose when you select this race. Flight, because of your wings, you have a flying speed equal to your walking speed. You can't use this flying speed if you're wearing medium or heavy armor. Now, walking speed is also like kind of weird here, huh? Because if you're tiny, should you have a 30-foot walking speed or whatever?
Okay, so yeah, if you were tiny, you would probably have a 20-foot walking speed.
Right, I think that's a high end too.
Yeah, I agree with that. But like in that, if they went with the tiny thing, they probably wouldn't have tied flight to the walking speed.
Mm,
okay. But because they did, I did some things to exploit that.
Yeah.
Want to talk about my character?
Yeah.
So my character is a fairy fighter named Marion of the Vale, and she has a background of a criminal because she essentially leads a band of brigands in the Feywild, and they rob the rich, give it to the poor, because that's what they do.
Okay.
She is an arcane archer, and I got her trained in acrobatics, arcana, deception, perception, and stealth. She has a vicious longbow, because guess what I learned about this game? There is a serious lack of magical bows. There's almost none. There's like almost absolutely none, at least within like the major like book releases that aren't like modules. I can't speak for every module out there.
Did you check ammunition?
Yes.
Magical ammunition?
Did not help.
Oh man, I was thinking there would be more magical ammunition.
There's an absolute drought of magical bows. But I found one, vicious longbow. You can attach the word vicious to any weapon, and essentially what it does is it just makes your crits more vicious.
More critical?
More critical, if you will, yeah.
Even crittier.
Yeah, even crittier. No, I don't like that.
That sounds like a tag on breakfast cereal, you know what I mean? Like
it does.
D&D breakfast, eat your D20Os, even crittier.
D20Os.
Natural 20 on your balanced breakfast.
So she, what was I saying? You've thrown me off my game. She wears studded leather, putting her in armor class of 16. I gave her boots of speed because guess what? It doubles her speed.
Okay.
And so now she can fly like 80 fucking feet or something like that. It's fan-fucking-tastic.
I cut some material off of my regular boots of speed. Maybe that's what she did. She went to go rob someone's boots of speed and just cut a piece off. I was like, this is all I need.
Exactly.
Went back to like a leather worker and they made her boots of speed.
See, where's her speed? Her walking speed is 40 feet.
Nice. Because of the boots.
Because of the boots. Nice. So okay. she has a flying speed of 40 feet, which is excellent.
I really like comboing the fly with the boots of speed. Like, that's kind of scary.
Yeah, that is kind of scary. But I like the idea of, like, she just flies way the fuck up there and fires down on you with her banishing arrow, her beguiling arrow, and her grasping arrow, you know, which, you know, I thought were all very fitting for, like, a brigand. It's like, I need you gone, banish, you know, or you're being a problem. Let me charm you and your, you know, and one of your allies or whatever.
I'm gonna make you fight.
Give me your monies.
I'm gonna make you fight Graviturgy people as your dungeon master.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh, to bring me down. Yeah, yeah, I guess you could do that. And then grasping arrows is, you know, the poisonous plants. You know, grasping them and locking them down.
Nice. Okay.
All very good for robbing people.
Yes.
Let's see. Is there anything else? What were my feats? I took.
Your mischievous little fairy thief, but for good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. So mobile, speed increased by 10 feet. So that's why I'm at 40 feet, because I had 30 feet speed. So actually, I have a fly speed of 80 feet because of mobile.
Okay, that's dope.
The boots of speed, when I turn them on, double my speed.
I love the mobile feat. Yeah. It's one of my favorite feats for fighters.
Yeah, so when you use a dash action, difficult terrain doesn't cost you any extra movement. When you make a melee attack against a creature, you don't provoke opportunity attack. So she probably has like a knife on her for a situation she needs to get the hell out, slash across the eyes, and then turn on the boots, fly away.
Nice. That's a weird thing in D&D. It's like, I cut off your hand. Like, how do we, you know?
Well, they got injury, like, optional rules.
That's DMG stuff. Huh?
Yeah, it's DMG stuff.
I'm getting there.
And then I got the sharpshooter feat, which attacking at long range does not impose disadvantage on your ranged weapon attack roll, so she can just get so far away. Mm. And your ranged weapon attacks ignore half cover and three quarters cover. Hell yeah, you ain't hiding from
her.
That's
dope.
Before you make an attack with a ranged weapon that you are proficient with, you can choose to take a -5 penalty to the attack roll to add +10 to the attack's damage. That's not too bad with this build, just because I took the archery fighting style, which gives me a +2, so that's really only taking a -3 penalty.
Just remember that you can't use that with your psychic blades.
Okay, I will remember that.
Because I got told a lot.
I'm sure you
did. My character still had a gun. My character had a gun. Okay. I was so mad. I was like, I didn't even think about it I might have mentioned something about it in that episode, but my character had a fucking gun. So.
No, I think we did discuss you throwing the blades.
Probably. I was like, I wonder if I could. Yeah, and people I get it. I got it. Makes sense. You were right.
I'm trying to think of anything. I'm looking. I think that basically covers her. She's just kind of she's a rogue without being a rogue, because I don't actually like rogues.
Yeah, I mean, fighters can do anything, really.
Exactly.
Except for cast spells, which you also can do.
Yes, I got Druidcraft, Prestidigitation, Fairy Fire, and Enlarge Reduce.
Which I always like Genasi for fighters because, hey, look, I can do at least one magic.
Yeah, all the races that come with a little bit of magic are fun. Any questions about my character? Marion of the Vale.
Marion of the Vale. Do you want to explain that name? Like how you're
explaining it? Oh, yeah. I just gender bent Robin Hood, switched Robin with Maid Marion, and then Vale instead of Hood.
Yeah, I like the explanation from pre-podcast talk, so I thought it would be good on the recording.
Yeah.
Good job.
I had fun with it.
I like the character.
I like this character.
So you had boots? What?
She's
boots
a badass.
And a bow, and you have leather armor.
Boots and bow.
That's a cool look. Yeah. What color's your hair? What's your color scheme like here? And which of those random chart traits did you pick?
I didn't, so let's do that.
You want to roll a d8?
Sure.
Give me a d8 to roll. D8. Just on the podcast.
I
bust out some
really
dice.
Hope I don't have some insectile eggs. That would suck.
You know, if you why don't you re-roll that one? And then if you get it again,
no,
you
have to
keep it.
We have to live with whatever this is.
Okay,
are you ready?
I'm trying to be a nice DM, Brian.
I rolled an 8.
That is a noticeable harmless chill surrounds you.
So, you know, Marion, she's a cold, hard bitch. Like, she don't give a fuck. She's ready to go.
She's
ready to throw down. She is no qualms with sticking you.
Ice in her veins. You're going to hear it before you see it. Yeah.
Let's take
a short rest.
Hello, everybody. This is Tom Case.
And this is Will Stark.
Will, could you imagine if we had our own podcast?
Dude, could you imagine?
What if the Loch Ness Monster was real?
Do you think they would open, like, essentially a quote-unquote Jurassic Park for this?
Oh, no,
like,
no. They're not going to let anyone look at it.
What if your house was haunted?
Mm-hmm. Let's say it was a woman. She wants companionship.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, okay. I'm not talking about, like, love or sex or anything. Okay, cool. You know, I was going to bring this up, but I knew you were going to say no, so.
What if someone close to you was a werewolf?
Set up a camera, because it would still be a full moon, so she would turn into a wolf monster. Go out in the night, probably kill some people. Oops.
Yeah, I mean, nothing I can do about that.
The best in What If Entertainment. Just search Dude, Could You Imagine? Anywhere podcasts can be found.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
We've returned.
Indeed we have.
We're going to talk about rabbit people. I'm really, really excited about rabbit people. I don't know why. Like, they're just cool.
So are these guys pronounced Harangun or Harangons?
Harangon. I want to say Harangons. Like a hair. Like
I'm pulling this up. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
I was looking at my notes and my brain broke.
I'm going to justify it in my own way, and then I'm going to let you do the thing, and we'll see how close I got. Because hair, like a rabbit, or like, you know.
Yeah, hair like a rabbit.
And then an N-G-O-N.
So it is Harangon. There's an N in there.
That's what
Harangon.
I was saying. Harangon.
Because I've been saying Harangon.
Hair and gone.
Hair and gone. That makes sense. It's a rabbit, and then it's scared of you, so it runs away. Let's talk about Harangons.
Okay.
Harangons are rabbit folk native to the Feywild, though they often migrate to the material plane. They embody the spirit of freedom and travel, enjoying travel by foot the best and rarely staying in one place for long. In time, these rabbit folk hopped into other worlds, bringing the Fey realms exuberance with them and learning new languages as they went.
Nice.
You know, I do think it's funny that they insist on bringing up the whole language barrier with these two species. They've never done that before. Why? Because okay. They're from the Fae, but, like, who cares?
Well, they were so deep in there, Will, that like, they've never shown up in the world before. So,
there we go. Yeah. Okay, maybe that's it. Harangon are... okay, so is it Harangons or Harangon for the plural?
I would say Harangon for the plural.
Yeah, that sounds right, but okay. Harangon are bipedal, with the characteristic long feet of the rabbits they resemble, and fur in a variety of colors. They share the keen senses and powerful legs of the leporine creatures and are full of energy, like a wound-up spring. Harangon are blessed with a little fey luck, and they often find themselves a few fortunate feet away from dangers during adventures.
Nice, okay.
Every Harangon follows their own path through life, their disposition shaped in part by the company they keep. One Herringon might travel to far lands, make friends along the way, delight in freedom and the open trail, and find inner peace. Another might become an adventurer with a strong heart and fervent dreams. For more information on Herringons as player characters, see the introduction of The Adventure, The Wild Beyond the Witchlight.
Let's take the halfling and the tabaxi
and put them together.
Put them inside a rabbit.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. I wish there was more written about these guys, because they're pretty interesting. But unlike the fairies we talked about earlier, Herringons are completely new to D&D. This is the only module that they've been part of. I'm hoping with the possible compilation source book coming out next year that these guys get included and we get some more lore written about them as well.
Yeah, Monsters of the Multiverse. That one's going to be that one's going to be big. You're going to get probably new alts of all that stuff. We're going to... There's probably more to it in the... Throughout the module, you kind of might see these interact. We're not gonna like get too into the like the module.
I'm not reading
itself.
The module.
You know, yeah, just, I'm like, not. We're not going to, and we don't want to like spoil anything from the module too
exactly.
hard, especially since it's so new.
Yeah.
But this is a thing in the module that is now part of D&D, yeah. right?
Like, okay, so one thing I do know, like they have a few different variety of monster versions of the Herringon you can fight. There's brigands, snipers, and I know there's a third one that I'm not remembering.
Rabbit monsters.
But there's really no lore about them. The only thing written about them in The Wild Beyond the Witchlight is like kind of like combat tactics.
I see.
So there's really nothing to add when if I were to like look at this paragraph about Herringon brigands and be like, Herringon brigands also exist. Well, yeah, like brigands of any kind would exist, right? So really, not really adding anything to the conversation
yeah,
when I say
so
that.
It's the standard like, hey, here's some rabbit people. We statted it out. They live in the Fey. Go for it.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely.
And I'm going to go for it.
So go for it, Brian. Oh, I'm reading these racial traits, right?
No, I'll do it.
Okay, you go for it.
That's my job,
you do,
right?
Yeah, absolutely it is.
I mean, you can if you want.
No, you go right ahead.
Maybe we've done it like that in the past, huh?
I don't remember.
I read the first part and you read this part.
Yeah, but you go
we're
ahead.
Not doing that.
You already claimed it.
As a Herringon, you have the following Sharingan. Sorry. Following racial traits. You are humanoid. You are medium or small. I chose small. You choose a size when you select the race. You have a walking speed of 30 feet, which I would feel cheated if it was a medium character. I feel like it should be 35 or 40 because I'm a rabbit, right?
You're fast.
Quick,
yeah,
nimble,
I see what you're saying.
Powerful bottom legs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but as a small creature, I don't feel so bad about 30. Now sure. I have... Now, how do I say this word? Leporine? Leporine?
Leprin, but or leporine, but you switched one.
Oh, I missed the hair trigger. Yeah. You can add your proficiency bonus to your initiative rolls, which I love. I love the alert feat because of that, so that's really cool.
Yeah.
So excited. I blind picked this race because rabbits, right?
So leporine senses.
Leporine senses. You have proficiency in the perception skill.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Rabbits are always on the lookout for danger. They got big ears to listen. Like they're very perceptive.
Lucky footwork, which has a slightly dark connotation to it when you think about like a lucky rabbit's foot.
Oh, yeah.
Which is I cut that foot off of an animal. I'm carrying it on a keychain.
Indeed.
Jesus, the 90s were weird. I don't even know how far back that goes. Probably way back.
You know, most of them were false, right? You know, most of them were fake in the
90s? Most of them, but some people are like, I taxidermied the foot of this animal, and now
I
just
have
it. To
be fair, like, the people who killed those rabbits probably ate them in rabbit stew.
Probably. How lucky could that rabbit possibly be? It's dead.
That's true.
We got the fail dex saving throw. You can use your reaction to roll a d4 and add it to the save, potentially turning the failure into success. You can't use this reaction. You can't use it if you're prone or if your speed is zero. Now, that's all the time, which is dope. I didn't see on a short rest or long rest. That's pretty good. So just kind of go for it.
And dex saves are the most common saves. D4 is not as good as advantage, but it's something. It's not as good as a reroll.
Yes, but that's why you can just like abuse it.
Basically. Yeah, you can abuse it. It is
stuff.
Based off of your ability to move quickly, which we talked about earlier. So yeah.
Well, the name implies that there's also luck involved. So here's your extra luck die.
Right. Right.
But you're fast, so you're able to do it. Rabbit hop as a bonus action. You can jump a number of feet equal to 5 times your proficiency bonus without provoking opportunity attacks. That's very cool. You can use this trait only if your speed is greater than 0. You can use it a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus. And you regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest. Now, I know you can't like run and then fly. You've got to split up your movement. You can't like run your full thing and then fly your full thing, right?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to split up your movement.
So it's the same thing with jumping, I'm pretty sure. You have to have movement left to jump.
Yes, I think so. But I was going to say, so at level 20, you could jump a total of 25 feet.
That's pretty fucking good.
Yeah. Or wait, do you get a plus 6 by level 20? Because then it'd be 30 feet.
To proficiency?
Yeah, proficiency.
I think it just goes to the plus 5.
Okay, that's what I thought too. So it'd be 25 feet at level 20, which is, yeah, that's quite far.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Indeed. Okay. I don't know. I always forget the normal jumping rules off the top of my head, but like they're in the books.
Yeah, you usually need a running start to like do an actual long jump.
Yeah, it's based off your strength and dex, or strength or dex.
I believe it's strength.
And then like you can do a standing one. It has different rules too. But anyway, I built Everett of the Leveret.
Tell us about Everett of the Leveret.
They have the Sharingan because they're hard gone. Yeah, that would have been so cool. Yeah. I thought of that because of the rhyme. But it's Everett of Leveret. So there's like certain, I imagine there is a certain sect of these rabbit folk, these Harangons, that are, they go by Leverets, like the synonym for rabbit that you helped me find.
Yeah.
So Everett was a happy bunny with his people.
Okay.
Loved
what
to
went
play,
wrong?
Loved to play the flute. The fae went wrong, Will.
The fae's always wrong.
The fae went wrong. a fairy robbed him and was like, I'm going to give this to someone who needs it. And he was like, I need that money.
Oh, you're talking, don't bring my character into this. What are you doing? My character does not rob boy rabbits.
And then as the boy rabbit ran to find the fairy, it stumbled across a very beautiful grove of flowers.
Okay.
Is a grove a good word for like?
Glade.
I like that. You know. a glade of flowers. And your boy Everett got hungies. He's like, these smell great. Started eating them. Started getting, you know, a little weird for Everett. Got like lightly addicted to them and kept coming back to the glade and eventually met the Queen Titania.
Who was blessing these flowers?
It's just growing in her growing in her fields.
She just grows druggy flowers?
And that's how she makes warlocks.
Okay, cool.
My Everett of Leveret is a Faelock.
Nice. I like warlock. It. And he's bound to her by the drugs he's addicted to.
Kinda, yeah. So eventually it became a deal like, hey, you can have as many flowers as you want, but you need to be part of my
order.
My knight order. Yeah, whatever. What's Titania got going on? Like, I have a knightly order, like a court. Not a court. These are soldiers, right?
It wouldn't be. Yeah, it wouldn't. The soldiers are not part of the court. Unless they're knights, which kind of are if they hold lands.
And it's fey, and I think you've done like courtly stuff with your fey gnome, right? Like.
Yeah. He was quite courtly.
This is gonna be a much warmer, like humid environment. I'm gonna lean away from your cold shit.
Okay.
But basically. He agrees to become like a soldier.
So are like Titania. The winter. So are my winter gnome and your Everett of Leveret like mortal enemies?
That'd be funny. They probably like meet at one point to like.
They serve different queens and they fucking hate each other.
I think this that Everett of Leveret is like a diplomat of sorts.
Okay.
But is trained to be a diplomat. Like I want Titania says I want a Harangon for my. For diplomatic reasons, like you can come here.
Everybody loves bunnies,
especially those elves that live over there.
Okay, wow.
So Everett agrees to like grow up and leave his family and
for the
stop
drugs.
Playing
the flute for drugs
for these delicious flower petals and sweet bladelock powers.
That's true. You do get the bladelock powers.
So I get I took like a lance and javelins and spears and stuff like those like kind of more rangy weapons.
Okay,
I think I'll go with that. I'm gonna wear studded leather armor. I could jump real good. Let's see. I took Arcana. So these I imagine all these skills come into play after the warlockiness.
Mm-hmm.
So I took Arcana, Deception, Investigation, Perception, and Survival. I might actually go probably with a Persuasion on a rebuild of that because I don't think I picked a background.
You're probably missing stuff then. Yeah.
I'd probably pick a background that gives me Persuasion.
Yeah, but all these skills would have been picked up in his like knightly training.
Yes. So like you can eat as many flowers as you want, but you're gonna like live and work for me.
Right.
And there's some like kind of nasty magic going on. Like we're warlock buddies at this point.
Right.
Like, we have that thing.
Yeah.
But it's a little less evil because it's not like a great old one or something.
Right, yeah, you absolutely, know,
like,
yeah.
It's just the Queen Titania.
She was
selfish.
Nefarious in her motives, but like the thing, she's not actually having you do nasty things
mostly
or treating you too terribly.
Mostly dealing with the elves. So like I gave this the Cloak of Elvenkind, which let me read that exactly. Inventory.
Is that stealth related, I think?
Yeah, while you wear this cloak with its hood up, wisdom perception checks made to see you have disadvantage. You have advantage on dexterity stealth checks made to hide as the cloak's color shifts to camouflage you. Pulling the hood up or down requires an action. So that's like, you're not only an emissary, you are like into the stealth. You're small. Like you can go get information. You can do lots of things.
Yeah.
And that's you're why multifaceted. Titania likes you. And you get all the cool blade lock stuff, which I'm not like super in touch with the blade lock, but I know it's very good.
It's pretty good.
There's a lot of like cool wicked stuff you can do with it.
It's more like the Hexblade is what the blade lock kind of should be to a certain extent.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
And you could be a Hexblade blade lock, which makes sense. But yeah, I mean, the blade lock's cool. When I built the Winter Gnome, he's also a blade lock. So, and he's a fey blade lock.
The Winter Gnome. With his metal arm.
Yeah.
I really like the...
We'll say an ice arm.
An ice arm.
Yeah.
An icy arm. I like the bunny wearing like armor with this cloak, you know, like throwing javelins, hitting you with the spear at range, and then going for like a short sword, like sort of style combat. Jumping and like fucking, you know, giving it to him.
Yeah,
like,
that sounds super badass. Yeah,
Kind of a blend of things I've been recently exposed to, as is my life. I've been finding, which also happens to be one of your characters, Ikari.
Yes, it's absolutely. Like, okay, but that's
well,
cool. That's
I'm gonna
dope.
Jump.
Yeah,
and if you're jumping, you might as well be stabbing while
yeah,
you're jumping.
Absolutely. Why not? It only makes the jumping better.
It almost makes it cool. I don't get extra stuff like Ikari does with the jump, which yeah. you guys will find more about Ikari if you don't know anything about Ikari yet.
Yeah, that'll be the next campaign.
Next campaign after Saga. So that's pretty much it for Everett of Leveret, the warlock who will one day achieve Sharangan level power.
I don't know. I don't think he's actually going to.
Maybe not.
But he seems pretty cool.
His third eye will open. His rabbit eyes.
That just kind of breaks the theme of everything he's got going on.
Yeah, so I'm just an agent of Titania. Maybe I'll have to go out with a bunch of nasty boys that aren't fae to go like find out about threats in the outside world. You know, they come to visit Elftown, and then I'm spying on Elftown, and then in the fae, like adventurers is like, join them. I've foreseen the future. Go Everett of Leveret.
Go Everett of Leveret. Go be dope.
Be my ward.
That's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah, I like Everett a lot.
So anything you want to add about Harangons or fairies before we move on to our long rest?
Everett was a sweet boy, and then Everett became like,
no, he's a cool-blooded
killer. a hardened like
soldier.
Give me the flowers. Like, you can take as many flowers as you can carry. Like, I'll try to send them to you.
Sure, it's a lot of flowers.
Oh, that would be cool. Like, as I level up, like I get a replenish. Like, as I send you, I'm able to find the time and energy to send you more power. I also like a little sack of
so
flower petals.
So
appears.
Well, maybe that's where you're getting the connection of the power from. Is like you're ingesting
oh,
this drug like essence.
That would be such cool Titania. Flavor. Yeah. I'm adventuring and mm-hmm. I go to sleep at night and I wake up and flowers have grown next to me.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, that's so yeah. fucking cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I eat other like, you know, foliage like crabgrass and.
I mean, yeah, you're a rabbit. Why wouldn't you?
Carrots.
Because like, you may like your drugs, but you also need food.
Yeah, and I eat them like this, like with my little toe beans.
Uh huh. Yeah, like a rabbit would.
Yeah.
All right, we're taking a long rest. It's long rest time.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the long rest. We're back to building our beholder, and you guessed it, it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
It's getting so weird. This is the weirdest one.
I don't know, man. I mean, I've seen what the other ones look like and they are horrifying to behold. So
I think this is going to be our like most disturbing, like weird. I don't want to get covered in blood.
So far, I think this one is definitely going to be our wackiest one. Do
our
you want to start?
Damaging.
Yeah, our least damaging. Did you want to start?
Oh, let's start with the beam.
Start with the beam.
It's
Go
got
ahead.
A fey characteristics beam. So you roll on this, this fairy chart for the D8. So it could give you wings, or it could give you a shimmering multicolored mustache.
Or make you smell like brownies.
Yeah, yeah. Make you smell like brownies. Or it could give you horrible insect legs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And your walking speed becomes 55.
Ruin your fucking day.
And you can't control them. It controls them. That's definitely the worst one.
Yeah, no, that's it's got to be the worst one. As for its physical feature, this beholder has now gained a set of rabbit teeth. That's right, this big buck rodent teeth.
Yeah.
That's what this guy has.
Those first, like, grit, those first those jaw, upper
crazy
jaw.
Incisors.
Crazy incisors. Yeah. Just replaced, like, whatever block with big buck rabbit teeth.
Absolutely.
And I really like... Like, you fighting next to your, like, shield fighter in combat. And be like, Jimmy, are you all right? He's like, I've been shot, but I don't know. He's like, did you feel very cold?
That's silly.
Are you dying?
All right, so that's our beholder segment. I think, what are we on? Like, feature six at this point? Feature five or six. We're somewhere.
We were two deep when we started this round of recordings.
Okay, so this is number five. We're halfway done with this beholder.
Three. That was number four, wasn't it? Because we did three episodes, but one of them was a beholder.
One of them was a beholder.
Episode.
So you're right.
We're four
you're
deep
right.
on this beholder.
We're just four deep.
And this is the last beholder of the year, right?
Yes, we're building the last beholder of
and
the
then
year.
I think we're going to build like a pseudo beholder, like one of the smaller ones with our remaining years.
We'll see what's left afterwards.
Yeah,
I got to look at the
we'll
schedule.
Figure it out. There might be a fifth creature, but this is the last all 10 tentacle beholder or whatever the fuck. So join the Discord if you want more D&D stuff, conversation, talking about shows and looking for games and all kinds of stuff and some really great people. Thanks to everybody who helps run the Discord. You guys are amazing and awesome.
Indeed.
And they have a lot of stuff to offer. You should go check them out too. Now, Strixhaven.
Oh, yeah, I guess we can announce the contest here. So, yeah, we're doing a new contest for November. We're giving away the Mages of Strixhaven book, which I think that's not the title anymore. It's Strixhaven something, something, something else.
And we also don't know a lot of the details about this contest yet, but we know that it's going to be happening. Check our social media. There's going to be a lot of information there. Will's going to look up the Strixhaven title, I'm pretty sure. But we are going to do the alternate art, which looks like an atom almost, like, you know, scientific. Science book drawing of an atom.
What are we talking about?
The Strixhaven alternate art cover.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of like loopies.
So it's going to be called Strixhaven, a curriculum of chaos.
Oh, yeah, I knew
it's
that.
It's a new, not a module, but resource book.
Did we already finish the Fizban giveaway?
Yeah, Fizban, but we don't know because right now it's not October 19th yet when we're recording this.
Right, but Fizban... That's
will have
done.
Been given away
that's
at this
done.
Point.
Congrats
yeah.
to the Fizban winner.
Indeed.
And all the coffee winners, too. Thanks, guys.
Right. And we're giving away a book, Strixhaven, Curriculum of Chaos. It's going to be our November giveaway. It's going to run from November 1st all the way to November 31st or 31 in November, right?
How many days in November? That many.
God, now I got to look this up.
Oh, okay.
We really got to start doing this before we start a longer...
The Dungeon Cast on Instagram, also the same 30. Thing on Twitter.
So right. on December 1st, we'll be announcing the winners of our Strixhaven book. One on Instagram, one on Twitter. Check out our social media for the rules. We'll know more about it our next recording. So next episode, we will be telling you more about it.
Want to? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Want to send us something? You can. Like physical mail for sure. P.O. Box 1784, Upland, California 91785, or check the description below if you're like driving or whatever, it's there. We also have an Amazon wish list, so if you don't know what to send us, you can just send us something off there. We're going to display it on our YouTube background, or I'm going to make music with it. It's one of those two things, or we're going to use it because there's some high-end microphones on there that ideally we would have, but don't. And we'll definitely shout you out just like we would anybody else. And thanks. If you want to support us in other ways, tell somebody about the show, leave an iTunes review.
Check out Patreon.
Or go to patreon.com/thedungeoncast, get your bonus content, ad-free version of this show that we drop early as we can anyway. But usually multiple weeks in advance, you'll be getting episodes. Now, what do we do now? Call it a game?
I think we call it a game.
We're going to call it a game. Thanks for hanging out with us while we did fairy, rabbit, and beholder stuff.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye. The Dungeon Cast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons and Dragons. And wow, I almost said an alliteration. I didn't have one in my brain. Damn.
We have to start over. Damn it. And now I can't surprise you. Okay, go ahead.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new. Or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.